When girls get to be about middle school age, they suddenly retreat and draw inside of themselves. One way to bring them out and help them find their voice is to sing. That's why Jenna Delp Summers decided to create I Sing Silicon Valley. It's a choral education organization based in Silicon Valley, and its mission is to champion girls from first grade through high school and help them explore, create, and collaborate through music. After they won an international competition in Germany, Jenna decided they should capitalize on that excitement and release their first recording together. It's called Here I Stand. And that's the recording you're going to hear about this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. I'm talking with Jenna Delp Summers, the music director of I Sing, and one of the members of this ensemble, Dana Abo. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start off, Jenna, by just asking you to tell me a little bit about the mission behind the I Sing program. What is this?
We founded I Sing in 2013, so this is our eighth season, and it was founded with the mission of championing girls as artists, creators, and collaborators through music. One of the reasons we decided to make I Sing a space just for girls to explore music is because the voice is such a vulnerable instrument. We teach the girls that to really make music, you have to be whole self in, and that means engaging your mind, your heart, all of your skills, and all of your knowledge. And when you perform that way, like so many performers that we admire do, it can have a profound effect on yourself, your development, your present, your future. It can be really life-changing.
You might have just answered this, but Jenna, what happens when these young women discover their voices?
Right. It's interesting at I Sing because we start in first grade, and a lot of times we know girls all the way through their high school tenure. So when they come into I Sing, a lot of times there's just no fear from a first, second, third grader. It's awesome. They want to volunteer. They're eager to sort of put their voice out into the room. And I would say that stays the same through elementary school. And then in middle school, it's interesting. A lot of the girls pull back. And so a lot of our curriculum at that age focuses on the solo voice. So they love their voice. That's the goal, is for them to just love who they are as a musician and find confidence in their voice. And what that means for them is that they discover their own capacity and potential. And that doesn't just mean with music. I think when you have confidence in your voice, you're a different person. You're able to speak your mind, speak up for things that matter to you. And so these are things that we want to equip girls with for of course, the enjoyment of their young years, but for a bright future.
Jenna, you founded this group. What inspired you to do that? Why was this so important to you?
Well, I was teaching middle school at the time, and I noticed that a lot of my middle school boys had just insane amounts of charisma and character, and the middle school girls were really, like I said, pulling back, and they just seemed to take a hard step back in confidence. And I thought, wow, if we could turn the tables here for a group of girls and we could give them a really amazing community where they felt safe and able to explore and able to take risks, we thought that we could really provide them with a really solid foundation in these formative years of their lives. And so taking a step back isn't really an option at I Sing. The whole artistic team champions the girls and supports them and helps them realize their potential.
Dana, you've been nodding your head. Yes, yes, you're in full agreement with Jenna as she's saying these things. What has your experience been like as a member of iSing, and how long have you participated?
Yeah, no, absolutely agreed with everything Jenna has said. I joined iSing my freshman year of high school, and then I was in iSing until I graduated. So I graduated in 2019, and I love that Jenna used the word charisma, because I feel like iSing is really the most charismatic group of girls that I've ever encountered. And when I hear my peers introducing pieces at concerts and singing solos in class, and just all of the ways that they share their many talents so generously, it's really a community where you have no choice but to sort of share what you have to offer. And in turn, it really affirms for all of us that we have so much to offer and to share in any situation, not just when we're rehearsing together.
So let me just confirm, Jenna, these are ages like first grade all the way through high school then?
Yes, in separate groups. So we have our minis and melodics class, and those are sort of a really playful introduction to music. The girls dance, they sing, they play, and they learn musical concepts through games, storytelling. It meets the girls exactly where they are, and they learn musical concepts through play. It's a joy to watch. My colleague Shane Troll is like the Pied Piper. He's a master teacher. And our upper elementary, so grades 4 through 6, that's really the first choir experience at iSing. And what an experience. It's 120 girls. So when they sing and you see 120 girls on stage, it is truly awesome. They sound beautiful. They sing in unison, two-part and three-part harmony. And they explore all the different voice parts, so soprano, sometimes they sing harmony. And then they get to my class, and we have a lot of focus on solo technique at the middle school level. And, you know, the sky's the limit. Once they're so well-trained, you know, at such a young age, they are such good sight readers. They're really hungry for increased challenge in music. I tell my upper level class, it's like driving a Ferrari. It's a teacher's dream to teach girls who are so capable.
Jenna, what have you discovered about yourself in creating this group and now having worked with them for the past several years?
Whoa, that's a big question. I think I don't have all the answers, and I am first and foremost a lover of all things music, and I hope that demonstrating that love through all of the stresses that come with running a nonprofit organization and putting your students first is a constant struggle, but it's so worth it. And I've learned to, I think actually I just want to change that answer. The biggest thing that I've learned is that I have to be open to the leadership of the girls. When we started the organization, I kind of had this vision and I was really going for it. And that met with resistance in a bunch of different ways, like the ways that we tried to build a community. Well, community is sort of something that happens organically. And if you let it happen, and if you trust the girls in front of you to create a supportive environment, they will. And that's exactly what they did. And so I learned more than anything to listen to them and to sort of help shape the direction of iSing through them and what they value.
Dana, can you describe an experience with iSing that has been one of your best memories about being involved?
Totally. There are so many. It's hard to choose. Obviously, every concert, every performance, every recording is just such a gift of a musical experience to have. But what first immediately came to mind was sort of just the moments that we all got together and started making music purely because there's nothing we love more than making music together. Like we have a week-long retreat every summer right before school starts, and it's like 6 hours a day of rehearsal for a whole week. and it's so much fun. But often on lunch breaks, someone will whip out a ukulele or a guitar, and groups of us will sit together and make music together, even in our tiny little break that we have from singing and rehearsing pretty intensively, just because that's our favorite way to spend time together.
This is a year-round choral program, and it brings together about 300 girls from diverse cultures and socioeconomic backgrounds. What are some of the greatest challenges this program faces, Jenna?
COVID is a huge challenge. We're lucky that we live in an area where technology is king, basically. So access to devices and computers isn't a problem for the majority of our participants. You know, with any kids' activity, showing up and being there and being with your friends is really important. And meeting through Zoom isn't quite the same. So I think everyone on the iSing team is, you know, very hopeful for a vaccine so that we can get in the room together and sing, because that's the thing with singing, is it's so much more enjoyable with others.
I want to talk about your debut recording. Who are we hearing on this recording? Which ensemble?
You're hearing our elementary, middle, and high school choirs. So the youngest is about 8, and the oldest is an 18-year-old.
So how did this recording come to be?
Well, we had just won a big international competition in Germany, and I felt like for the first time I had a lot of enthusiasm that I had never had before. Like, the kids were just on fire. The parents were super on fire. I thought, wow, if I'm ever gonna fundraise to make a recording, this is the year to do it. And I also had a really special senior class, and I, you know, the choir cycles every year, and I wanted to capture something with this senior class, many of whom were with us when we first started iSing in 2013.
So, of course, when you say you went to Germany for an international competition, how are you able to do that when you have young women of different socioeconomic backgrounds?
We have several fundraisers that we conduct throughout the year, and we use those fundraisers to fund the cost of the tour so that everyone can go. The entire choir went. Not all 250, just the upper group, so 40 singers.
Were you part of that recording process, Dana?
Yes, I was. I was a senior at the time.
So tell me what that was like for you.
It was amazing. What I remember most about it is just our collective investment in that recording process. I remember from some of our very first rehearsals, some of my favorite pieces on that album. Jenna would take a whiteboard and she would write the lyrics to a piece on a whiteboard, and we would decide together as a group how we wanted to phrase and shape each line and where we thought the text stress should be. And it was, that's not typical, I think, for a youth ensemble. It can be very sort of autocratic and the conductor is telling you what to do and that is correct. But we really had these conversations as a group about what we thought what we wanted this to sound like and how we wanted to shape this recording. So I really feel like every single one of us feels such a deep attachment to what this is, which comes back to girls feeling like we really have ownership and we have something to share that's really valuable.
Can you think of one of the pieces on the recording where you could give me an example of where you all made a decision about a phrasing that might have been impacted by what you all had to say?
Sure. Only in Sleep is one of my favorite pieces.
Only in sleep I see their faces, children I played with when I was a child.
And the text is just so powerful. So we all were really touched by this poem that in some ways is about growing up and your memories from childhood, which is obviously as high schoolers, and I think for the seniors especially, as we thought about going off to college and leaving iSing, was really, really meaningful. So we talked about that text a lot and talked about which lines and which words in particular we wanted to bring out. So the first couple of lines are, "Only in sleep time is forgotten. What may have come to them, who can know? Yet we played last night as long ago, and the dollhouse stood on the at the turn of the stair." I remember we had a pretty long conversation just about the word yet, because the first part of that phrase sort of expresses this, like, this feeling of loss. Who knows what happened to these people, and the memories are almost starting to disappear, but yet we played last night as long ago, that there's a part of it that's still very real and very alive. And I remember we debated whether to crescendo through the word yet, whether it should be piano, and I think we ultimately came to a sort of crescendo, decrescendo, that to me really felt like that it was capturing that feeling that the memory was still very rooted in the speaker of this poem, even as the world changes around them. And right now for me, I find myself, when I listen to that track, coming back to that feeling so deeply, just because the world has changed so much since we made that recording. But I really hold on to all of the memories of singing with this group of people that means so much to me.
Jenna, there are several special commissions on this debut recording. What role does commissioning music serve as a strategy for iSing?
We have commissioned pieces since we were founded. I was a member of The Crossing, which is a group that champions new repertoire for choirs. And being part of that group for several years just rocked my world. I loved being part of bringing a new piece of music to life, and I wanted young people to be part of that too. We commission music also out of necessity. For every, 100 great SATB pieces or pieces for mixed choir, there's like one gem for treble choir. It's really hard to sometimes find rep that fits our ensembles and fits in the sort of the serious nature of what the girls love to sing. I think a little bit of that is changing in the choral world, but for the better, which is good. But on this album, the girls were able, we commissioned an arrangement of a piece about gun violence. Hit home. There was a school shooting that year, and singing about it, and you can hear our anger in that track. 365 denials, 365 tears. We needed to sing that. That's just not the type of piece that's readily available for treble choirs. So this is part of our mission, is to, expand the repertoire, not just for iSing, but for lots of treble choirs out there. another commission on the album that I love, and I'm so honored that we got to premiere it, is Adam Schoenberg's piece that he wrote for us. It's a piece based on Elie Wiesel's memoir, Night. And this is Adam's first work for choir, actually. And he's just an incredible composer. And the way that he set the music is really, really beautiful. And it's not that it's entirely pleasing to listen to. You know, it's about the Holocaust. It has some harsh moments. One of the moments that was really hard to sing, study, and record was a moment in the second movement where the text is particularly difficult. We're saying a bell, a whip, the appellplatz marching side by side. Dana, what's the next part is particularly terrible.
Work, exhaustion, the terror of selection.
Yeah, death and bread and soup that tasted of corpses. Singing these words and studying them and saying them emphatically like we did, we almost had to separate ourselves.
But I cannot keep silent.
But yet, it ends with hope, and there is this beauty throughout that is inside the text and inside every note of the piece. And yeah, we loved singing that piece and learning it and trying to craft the perfect premiere.
Another commission is actually the title track of this new recording, Here I Stand.
Here I Stand is actually commissioned by a local Bay Area composer. She teaches at the Menlo School. Her name's Karen Linford. And the words for Here I Stand are based off of a United Nations speech that was given by Malala Yousafzai. And this, again, when we hear, you know, the voices of 200 girls singing these words, our words can change the world. It is our right to sing. These are things that, you know, when you sing them, when you realize that you have that potential, it's powerful. It's life-changing.
Dana, when I think about singing really powerful songs like that, I mean, sometimes when I really think about the piece, I literally get choked up. How do you, as a singer, get through something like that that has so much meaning?
That's a great question, and I think it ultimately comes down to sort of just believing so deeply in the power of what you're saying that you have no choice but to say it. And I think that the texts of all of these commissions, the people who wrote those texts had that feeling. So to try and channel that as a singer, and obviously a lot of rehearsal goes into it. And so that's something that builds over time. But I think really it comes down to feeling completely invested in every word that you sing.
You are a featured soloist on one of the pieces on this recording. Would you talk a little bit about that? It was Claude Debussy, right?
Yeah, Debussy's Salut Printemps. And it was just getting to sing that solo was incredible. and I had been working on it for almost a year prior to recording it. And Jenna and I had weekly coaching sessions together working on that music, and it was just an amazing opportunity to go so in depth into, it's just one page and it kind of flies by when I listen to it, but just how much care and detail we were able to put into every note and every phrase was really amazing.
Jenna, what's it like for you as the music director to see someone like Dana or any of the other singers really, develop and achieve a goal like that?
It just feels, I don't know, the only feeling that comes to mind is the same feeling that I have as a mom, you know, which is like when you see your child being successful and especially having joy and finding meaning in something, it's fulfillment, you know, as a mom, it's all encompassing, you know, it is the total of who you are. And that's how I feel when Dana and her friends love music the ways that they do and love each other and support each other the ways that they do. It's all the things, you know, it's joy in the moment. It's happiness for them and their future. We're still really young, so we only have, you know, a handful of graduates, but I'm happy to report that most of them are still singing. And whether that's in college a cappella, college choir, they're studying music, it is still a big part of their identity. And I'm so glad that we were able to be a small part of that.
I'm curious how you get these young women excited about contemporary choral music.
Ah, I'm telling you, that goes back to let them lead the way. The girls started to get, for lack of a better term, like a little bit nerdy. They started to really listen to choir music on YouTube, and Voces 8 is a huge part of their love for choir music, and Voces 8 is like incredibly prolific, you know, with YouTube videos and album releases. They actually met Voces 8. It was like Zac Efron walked into the room, you know, but once they got it in their ear, you know, this like highly crafted sound, they couldn't get enough. And that's awesome.
A life-changing experience for young women. It's a program called I Sing Silicon Valley, and their first recording is titled Here I Stand. Thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing New Classical Tracks. If you love New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for this show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Mocker.